And again, we are excited to be listening to Brother Jason Hood tonight. We've heard several messages from Brother Hood here in recent months, and we're going to go ahead and listen to another message. We'll be listening to the first half tonight, and we'll be playing the second half next Monday night. The title of this message is When Lepers Start Moving. When Lepers Start Moving. We'll go ahead and comment a little bit more on this after tonight's lesson or tonight's message. But before we begin to play, we just want to once again give thanks to Brother Jacob Roseberry, who has been helping us tremendously on the technical side of things and uploading these messages to our system. So once again, let's get ready to hear Brother Jason Hood, When Lepers Start Moving. Here we go.
Praise God. Praise God. Stand to your feet. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Great testimony. Amen. Amen. Thank God for what He is doing. And we don't believe by any stretch of the imagination that God is finished. Amen. But He is just beginning. Amen. 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 Do you believe that this morning? Praise God. Well, stand with me. I guess you are standing. So turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse number 11. Good to be in the house of the Lord again today. And thank God for His sweet presence that is here. And there's no reason why anybody should leave this place the same way you came. Amen. God is in this place. Luke chapter 17, verse number 11. Bible says, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers. Notice this, which stood afar off. 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Verse number 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. He said, go and show yourself to the priest. And they began to walk and still had leprosy. Yeah. Took a few more steps, still leprosy. But the closer they got to the priest, they began to look and said, man, something is happening. And as they went, they were cleansed. I want to preach this morning on this thought. When lepers start moving. When lepers start moving. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your touch today. God, I humbly ask you to anoint my mind, to anoint my lips of clay to speak to your people. God, I ask you to let your word fall upon good ground, add a blessing to your word. And God, I pray that somebody in this place today would make a move towards you, that you would cleanse, that you would bless, and that you would touch. And Father, we'll be careful to give you all the glory. We'll give you all the honor and all the praise. Everybody shout in Jesus' name. Clap your hands one more time before you're seated. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated in Jesus' name. In Bible times, there was no worse disease that a person could contract than that of leprosy. The definition of the disease meant smiting or stroke, because the disease was regarded as a direct providential infliction. It was virtually a death sentence. It many times meant separation and alienation from one's family and loved ones. When an individual somehow contracted this disease, he or she did not seek medical attention for the simple reason that there was no cure for leprosy. The individual would go to the priest in order for him to examine the area infected. He, in turn, upon his examination, would make the decision whether or not the individual had leprosy. If so, they were immediately placed in quarantine. Are you hearing me this morning? This disease begins with specks on the eyelids and on the palms, gradually spreading over the body, bleaching the hair white wherever they appear, crusting the affected parts with white scales and causing terrible sores and swellings. From the skin, the disease would eat inward into the tissue and muscles all the way to the bones. Amen. What a horrible plight for an individual to have. Rotting the whole body piecemeal. In Christ's day, no leper could live in a walled town, though he may be able to live in an open village. But wherever he was required to have his outer garment rent as a sign of deep grief, to go bareheaded, and to cover his beard with his mantle, as if in lamentation at his own death. He had further to warn passersby to keep away from him by calling out, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." Nor could he speak to anyone or receive or return a salutation, because in the East this would require an embrace. It is further believed that leprosy was a disease that attacked a person's central nervous system and caused them to get to a place that they could not feel pain. It would take away their ability to feel anything at all. And so, because of the terrible living conditions that lepers endured, it was not natural for them to wake up the next morning and find out that during the course of the night, some rodent, a rat perhaps, had come up while they were sleeping and nibble off their finger, and they would never feel the pain. And that is why you would see them with missing fingers and missing toes and limbs that were terribly affected, amen, because this disease would attack their nervous system. In the book of Leviticus chapter 13, we will not take the time to read it, but in your spare time you can go and find where the Lord gave specific instructions concerning lepers and leprosy. Amen. I will look here for just a moment at the book of Numbers chapter 5 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper." He said, if they've got leprosy, put them out of the camp. "And everyone that hath an issue, and whosoever is defiled by the dead, both male and female, shall ye put out. Without the camp shall ye put them, that they defile not their camps in the midst whereof I dwell." And the Bible says the children of Israel did so and put them out without the camp. As the Lord spake unto Moses, so did the children of Israel. I believe there were times that Moses, amen, would have to examine someone and see, there's something wrong here. There's some white specks appearing upon their body. This could be the dreaded disease of leprosy. No doubt it attacked people that he loved dearly. And Moses would have to make a decision. Am I going to put them out of the camp and suffer? Amen. Maybe their family, maybe their mother and their father, their sisters and brothers being upset. Said at me. Am I willing to put them out of the camp? I've got to make this decision. Amen. Everybody's not going to understand. Everybody's not going to like it. But I believe with all of my heart that Moses was more concerned about God dwelling in the midst of the camp, amen, than having somebody that was affected with the disease of leprosy. He had to offend some people. He had to make some people upset. But God said, if you want me to stay there, the leprosy's got to go. Are you hearing me today? The scripture many times deals in types and in shadows. And as we read the word of God, we can find different places that God would liken things and people and places to something else. We understand that Israel has always represented the church. We understand that Egypt has always represented the world. Amalek has represented the flesh. Canaan has represented the victorious life. And leprosy has always represented sin. When you begin to look at the characteristics of leprosy, you begin to see why that God chose this disease to represent sin. There are seven things that we can look at. Number one, leprosy was hereditary. Amen. Two lepers could give birth to a baby. That would be beautiful. And I'm telling you, you would look at the baby and say, wow, look at what God has done, this beautiful baby. And the baby would grow up and just be a little toddler running around. But as time would go forward, you would begin to see the leprosy come through because they inherited it from their parents. It was hereditary. Number two, it was contagious. Number three, it was ever tending to increase. Number four, it brought shame and disgrace. Number five, it rendered one alone in the world. Number six, it was deforming and unclean. And number seven, it was incurable except for by the power of the Almighty God. Amen. Sounds like sin to me. Amen. The Bible says by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Bible says that the wages of sin, the compensation, the payment, the reward, the salary for sin is death. Scripture says when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You begin to look at the similarities. You begin to cross-examine, and you find that sin is crippling. The effects of it are damning. All we've got to do is look around us in our world today. You cannot listen to the news without hearing of some horrible act that has been committed by another human being. And you say, what in the world is going on? How can people be so evil? How can people get involved in such debauchery? I'll tell you what it is. Sin is ugly. Sin is horrible. I don't have enough adjectives today to describe how terrible this disease is. And it affects our entire world today. It's an epidemic that is affecting our entire world. Something, it's a sickness, it's a disease that we inherited from our father Adam. It's not what you do. You say, well, I'm not a bad person. It does not matter. Your father was a leper. Adam was a leper. Bible says, as in Adam, all die. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. We were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Every person in this house today, it's okay to go ahead and you can compare yourself to somebody else that you know. Say, well, I'm not as bad as Joe Blow over here, and I'm not as bad as Susie Q. That's okay. You may not have as many spots, but you got the same leprosy. It's contagious. That's why when you hang around the wrong crowd, things that you've been taught better than by your parents, things that your own good conscience tells you should not do, if you hang around the wrong crowd long enough, their sin, their leprosy will begin to affect you. It's contagious. It brings shame. How many people go home and sleep off a drunken binge and wake up the next morning and don't even want to look themselves in the face because they're so ashamed of what they've done. They're so ashamed of how they've been living. It's forever increasing. It makes a person lonely. And surely only God can cure sin. Only God can cure sin. What is sin, you may ask? Sin is the transgression of God's holy law and his precepts. Now, there are some things that we we all know is sin. I could begin to talk about things that the scripture is clear on. We understand that it's a sin for a person to commit adultery. Do we understand that? We understand that it's a sin to commit murder. We understand that it's a sin. The Bible says all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. We don't really believe that, but that's what the Bible says. There are some things that are clear in the Word of God. And let me say this. There is a difference between committing sin and living in sin. As a child of God, there are times that we fall short of God's glory and we drop the ball. And I'm not excusing that, but I'd much rather be a child of God and commit a sin from time to time and get repentance than to live and abide in sin where there's nothing but condemnation. There is a difference. Folks say, "Oh, you church folks ain't perfect." You're right. You're right. But we are in the church and we are part of the body of Christ. And there's mercy and there's redemption and there's forgiveness for those that are in the body of Christ. And your chances are so much better by being in the house of God and belonging to Jesus Christ than it is out there doing your own thing. Amen. So we understand what sin is, and we could go deeper and get more detailed, but in reality, the truth of the matter is, sin is simply what you and I do that does not come from Christ. It's not inspired by Him. It's not, as Brother Clark has been talking lately, it's not us being led by the Spirit. And every church won't tell you what sin is. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm not here to run down churches. I'm not here to run down preachers. Amen. I be one. Praise God. But every priest in every church will not examine you when you come and say, "Hey, how am I doing? I need help." Not everybody's going to be honest with you and examine you and say, "Hey, you know what? You got leprosy." There are some that are more concerned about how much money you put in the plate. Y'all get nervous. There's some that are more concerned about keeping you around and making sure you don't get offended and leave and join another church. And so they'll let you come full of leprosy. And the priest will never examine the affected area and say, "Hey, you know what? You got to quit that sinning you're doing." We have lived to see a day where preachers don't preach against sin. Right. It's all blessings. It's all prosperity. It's all, "Oh, I feel a breakthrough coming your way. And just sow a seed into this ministry. And God's going to bless you. And God's going to give you a new car. God's going to give you a better job." And nobody is talking about the leprosy that's affecting people. I wouldn't give a plug nickel for a preacher that would not stand behind the sacred desk and preach to me the truth. I'm here to be saved. I'm not here for you to make me feel good, preacher. I want to make heaven my home. And if there's sin in my life, preach against it. Talk about it. How will I know if you don't tell me? Maybe seated. It grieves my spirit. In fact, I'll just be honest, it makes me mad. All these preachers, so-called men of God, that won't tell the truth because they don't want to offend people. And I'm not for just being harsh and brash and all of these things. I believe we can be tactful and we can come in the back way and lay it out real nice. But somewhere along the line, people need to know you can't keep sinning and be saved. I'm sorry. You can't keep lying and make heaven your home. You can't keep laying up with somebody you're not married to and be saved. Everybody ain't going to tell you that. But a real priest is going to examine the leprosy and say, "Hey, and in our effort sometimes to keep people around, our effort to appease them and please them, if we're not careful, the leprosy that is on them, if it does not get addressed, if it does not get examined, can begin to affect other people. Somewhere along the line, if you're going to a real church that's preaching truth, the man that's preaching somewhere, sometime, is going to name your sin. Somewhere, sometime, he's going to point his finger and say, "Repent or perish." flourish. But the question is, do you want to go to a real church? I'm feeling at home here today. This is getting dangerous. The question is, what kind of church do you want to go to? You want to go to a church that you can keep on doing your thing and have your little... You want to go to a church that you can profess Christ and be a Christian on Sunday, but then on Friday you're in the club dancing and swinging and twisting and moving. Is that the kind of church you want to go to? You want to go to a church that on Sunday you can sing in the choir, but then on Monday you can listen to all kinds of filth on your radio or watch all kind of filth on television? Yeah. What kind of church do you want to go to? Amen. We're serving a holy God, and He's got a holy people, a separate, a sanctified, a called out people. What kind of church you want to go to? You want to go to a church that's got robed choirs, and flashing lights? You guys got robed choirs? Nothing wrong with that if you do. I just... You want to go to a church that's got this department and this department and this department, and my church has got a cafe in it. My church has got a bookstore. My church has got... You know, all that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But let me ask you a question. Does your church preach against sin? Because the Bible says anything that defileth is not going to enter in. As much as I love to come to church and see the people of God, I'm not here just to see you. I'm here to make sure that I'm rapture ready. I'm here to make sure that there's nothing in my life that's going to stop me from being saved. This is not a club. This is the church of the living God. Hey, be seated. Sometimes you got to hear that God loves the sinner. Oh, yes, He does. But that He hates their sin. And that if you stay in your sin, eventually, somewhere along the line, it's going to destroy you. Somewhere it's going to lead to eternal damnation.
Well, praise God and thank the Lord for this message we heard tonight. Again, this is the first half of Brother Jason Hood's message, When Lepers Start Moving. You know, I'll be honest with you, we were not sure exactly where this message was going, but hey, he laid the right foundation and he reminded us about that leprosy, which is, of course, comparable to today, the sin. Leprosy is the sin that we deal with today. But what an anointing that we felt at the beginning of this message. Just as I began to hear Brother Jason Hood's voice, I began to feel that anointing. I'm sure many of you who heard him when he was alive, you were reminded about his person, his voice, the anointing that was upon him. And what a special thing that is. He talked about several things regarding this leprosy. He talked about it being hereditary and incurable. In those days, it was. But thank God we have redemption and forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. He talked about how that today, it is an epidemic today, sin, the sin of leprosy. And then I thought about, isn't that interesting? Right now we're dealing with this new pandemic, this virus. But the pandemic that he was talking about, the epidemic that he was talking about, is the same sin that has been here for thousands of years since Adam. What kind of church do you want to go to? He asked a few times towards the end of the message. What kind of church do you want to go to? A church that just preaches a feel-good message that's going to make you feel like everything is all right, even if you're doing what's wrong. Thank God we have the right kind of church, and thank God for old-fashioned preaching. The last thing I want to say is thank God for a preacher. Thank God for a man of God that is willing to tell the truth. And thank God for our pastor, Pastor Clark, who he mentioned in the message, who is not afraid, who's not afraid to preach the truth of the gospel. Praise God. Well, with that said, everyone, we hope that you enjoyed this first half of the message, When Lepers Start Moving. And we know we're going to hear the second half next Monday, and I'm sure he's going to make some more important points about this next Monday. So we look forward to having everyone on the call on next Monday night. With that said, everyone have a great night in the name of Jesus. Be praying, be meditating about what we heard about, and let's continue to pray for revival. Those of you who have committed to fasting, let's continue to hold true to our fasting days this week. Let's be prayerful, and let's be ready for a move of God on this Wednesday night. God bless all of you. Have a great night in Jesus' name.